Listen to what? Listen to God. Our question for the day is, how well do you listen? Please be seated. If I asked your spouse how well you would listen, she or he would probably say, well, not too good. If I asked your employees or your coworkers the same question, how would they answer? If I ask God, how well does Wayne, Kathy, listen? How would God answer? Let's talk about listening for a few moments. In our lessons for today, Jesus tells us a parable, great parable. Sower went forth to sow, he said, and some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds devoured it. Some fell on hard ground, and that withered because the young plants could not penetrate into deep roots. Some fell among them, and the thorns grew up and choked them. But some that fell on the seed fell on good ground. They brought good fruit, and some 100-fold. Now, I believe that you will agree with me that Jesus did not come to teach us about agriculture. He's talking about real persons who are exposed to his teachings, those who hear the message of the gospel. He knew some of them who heard the word of God will leave having heard nothing. Others, after hearing him, will make a half-hearted commitment, and then they'll fall away. And a few will be sincere, but when they get out into the world and they see those otherworldly things out there and they look pretty good, they wither. Only a handful will experience the joy, the new meaning and purpose that walking in the footsteps of our Lord will bring. Only a few. And the question is why more people won't pay attention to God's word. The truthfulness of the gospel message is so obvious to those of us who have trusted him in our lives. The destructiveness of less worthy styles of living somehow else is evident. Why won't people listen to what Christ has to say and how you should live? Of course, it's easy to talk about the disinterest of the outside world, but an even more pressing question for us today is why those of us who are supposedly committed to Christ, we don't listen well either. Why are there not more believers that are ardent, more adventurous, more assertive in their commitment to Jesus? What is holding us back? Why does the seed of the gospel sometimes fall on infertile soil, even within the walls of this church? And so I'm asking you this morning, and I'm asking myself, how well do we listen? How well do you listen to others, particularly those closest to you? And how well do you listen to God? Statistics show that most people do not really listen very well, even in the best of circumstances. For even worse, we don't even remember much of what we hear a little while ago, even if we do listen. For example, and here comes a test, if I were to ask you, how much do you remember from my homily last week? Great homily. What the heck did I say? Do you remember anything? Some people remember the tuna, of trying to catch a tuna, 5,000-pound tuna. Holy cow. How do you do that? They're very tempting to pull a 5,000-pound tuna, and when you get $50,000, you try your best. But what does that have to do with the faith? Talking about temptation. Temptations are very nice things to get. The devil doesn't look ugly. The devil looks very attractive in its temptiness. Actually, if the truth be known, I'm not sure if you remember much at all about what I said either. That's why so many stories, I try to have as many stories as possible in my homilies. Studies show that people remember stories. And I want to help you remember the things that we talk about. I'm sure that's one reason Jesus used so many parables. People remember parables. What they say is another matter, what they mean, which, of course, are particular kind of stories. Parables tell moral stories. And note this, the scriptures tell us that Jesus had much, much more to say to them that is not recorded in the Gospels. Not recorded. That's very understandable as well. Jesus never wrote down anything that we know of, except when he wrote in the dirt about the woman caught in adultery and everybody else fled. Jesus handed out no lesson plans. He spoke and he expected his listeners to remember what he said. All verbal. I'm certain that's why the reason the Gospels included so many of Jesus' parables, so that they could remember the stories that Jesus told after he died and rose from the dead. They remembered his teachings. Stories stick with us. Listening, though, is a difficult business. The problem could be that on our part of the listener, or it could be simply the nature of the situation. It's difficult to listen and then remember what you just heard. Learning and listening is a difficult thing. But notice Jesus' emphasis in this parable is not on the sower of the seed, but upon the soil itself. Is the condition of the soil receptive to the seed? God is the sower, the gospel is the seed, and the soil is our hearts. The most eloquent preacher or teacher in the world could not reach the heart that is hardened to the gospel, or the life that is choked off with the weeds of worldly concerns. There's a story told by Rodney Cooper that happened not too long ago. True story. He tells about a woman who was fanatic and frantic with despair when she discovered that her little daughter was missing as they were on a camping trip in the Rocky Mountains. This woman thrashed through the woods, screaming her daughter's name. She went back to the camp and called for the rest of the help from the campers that were there, and she got it. Everyone started searching for this little girl. The team got organized, and they started fanning out into different parts that they thought she might have gone. And they were calling out at a regular intervals, her name. The woman sat down on a rock for a moment to rest. And how could she ever find her little girl in this big place? She was listening for her daughter's voice, but all she could hear was the volunteer search team pounding through the woods, calling vehemently out to her daughter and to one another. Suddenly, she decided that she and the other searchers were making a big mistake. They were making too much noise, and they could not hear the girl if she was yelling or screaming at all. So she relayed the information to everyone, and in moments' notices, everyone became silent. They stood silently. The woman listened. Nothing. She listened harder. Every pore of her body, every fiber, every muscle strained to hear that little voice once more. What would it be? When would it come? Then she heard a little girl's voice calling her, "Mommy, Mommy." By carefully listening and following the sound of her voice, the woman was reunited with her daughter. Sometimes we need to simply get to a quiet place and listen. Of course, that is a major part of what prayer is. Prayer is all about listening, isn't it? We need a time when we can simply spend some time in God's presence. Some people call this centering prayer. You center on listening to God. You're going to hear other things, and other things are going to go through your mind, but you just don't regard them, just disregard them, and listen to God talking to you from within. This is from a gift God has given us when you got baptized. You don't remember it, most of us, but it's called sanctifying grace. We all have it through our baptisms. We don't use it enough. That's the problem. It isn't working right. Get some quiet place sometime this week, and you don't have to use a whole half hour. But use sometime, some precious time where you just sit and listen, say, God, I'm here. I'm listening. That's all you have to say. Author, psychologist, and outstanding preacher Max Lucado practices centering prayer. And in one of his books, I heard him describe one of the phases of the fruits of his labor. What happens in this time that God is with you and you're not aware of it? And he also cites Mother Teresa, who once explained to someone who was asking her questions. When she prayed, she often said nothing to God, she said. She just listened. And then when asked what God said to her, she prayed. After she prayed, her answer came. Nothing. God is listening. She added, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, I can't explain it to you. One of Max's experiences was at a conference he was giving at some university, and he was talking about listening prayer and asking people to try it out during the intermission and things like that, and all of a sudden everything became quiet except one voice. It was a quacking voice, quacking like a duck. Quack, 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 quack. And people heard it. Everybody heard it. It was a person in that seminar that day who was schizophrenic, and that was the way she communicated with herself and with people, by quacking like a duck. She was an intellectual person at one time, had a nervous breakdown, and it resulted in her having fuzzy thoughts about everything. So she quacked away. So Max said after his quiet time with our Lord, he sought her out, and he found her because he followed the quacking noise, and he found her sitting down. So he sat next to her, and she looked up, and he looked up at her and just looked into her eyes. He didn't say quack, quack back or anything like that. They were just quiet in each other's presence. And after his listening prayer with God, he thought he just better give her all, his all as well. So they listened to each other for about 5 minutes or so, and then all of a sudden she spoke. She said, isn't it a beautiful day out today? First time she had spoken in years. Isn't it a beautiful day out today? He didn't say anything. Just continued to look at her, and she looked at him. And then she got up, and she walked away. The break was over, and everybody started talking again, and everybody said, did you see what I saw? Did you hear what I heard about our quacking lady? And she started quacking again. He knew she needed a psychotherapist, a psychiatrist. He knew she needed help, and just for a moment like that, and that she was possible for her to be reached by God and by experts in the field. Jesus told a parable. A sower went forth to sow. Some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds devoured it. Some fell on hard ground and withered because the young plants could not put down deep roots. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. But some of the seed fell on good ground, and they brought forth fruit, in some cases, 100-fold. Attaway, Max. The seed falling on good soil, he later explained, refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. In what condition is the soil which is in your heart? It's simply a matter of listening. I'd like to pause for the next couple minutes and just have you enjoy the presence of God within you through that sacred sacrament we call baptism. He has given you a gift. Just urge you to use it more often.